Hey, I'm Urkel Keith with FitnessBusinessInterviews.com, and I'm here with Lee Boyce. Now, Lee and I have been talking for a little while, and I thought it would be really cool to have him come on and share some awesome tips and secrets about how to get into writing for larger publications in the fitness industry. And that's because that is exactly what Lee is doing. He knows the ins and outs of writing for these publications, what to expect, what not to expect, and he's here to share a little bit about himself and exactly how you guys can get into writing for publications yourselves. So, Lee, thanks so much for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, one of the things I didn't mention in the intro is that you're still a really young guy, and you're in there writing for some pretty big publications. So how old are you right now?
Right now I'm 24, so I've been at the game, in the writing game, for about 2 years now. I got my first thing published at 22, so it's been a little bit, but still more to come.
All right, so what are some of the publications and places that you're writing for?
Currently right now I've got Testosterone Nation, TNation.com is the main magazine that I've been writing for. I've been there since 2009, and I've also gotten some material in WannabeBig.com and Men's Health Magazine, Hard Coffee, and hopefully in the near future I've got Huffington Post lined up, which is a pretty big newspaper-based style magazine, and also Muscle Mag as well as in the works.
All right, so you're still a young guy. I mean, you're talking about Men's Health, T-Nation, Huffington Post, I mean, pretty large places. You had to have some background, in, I guess, in the fitness industry and know what you're talking about. So can you share your background about kind of how you got into things and, you know, where you built your knowledge from?
Oh, yeah, sure. So it started out, of course, being an ex-sports athlete. I went into the basketball and volleyball and track and you name it in high school and all sorts of different sports, and then going into university, whereas while I was studying kinesiology, I also was running track varsity and also outside club track and field. So there's the background there, and you get a little bit of a foundation for just principles of training and methodologies and whatnot. Then you get into courses of study in the kinesiology classes like anatomy, human physiology, and biomechanics, and so on. You get more of a foundation, but honestly, it's more of lots of it was external research and just getting in front of really good coaches and having a good foundation made from coaches that you knew were credible, who were good in the game, and yeah, just it really sort of framed the whole path for me from that.
Okay, now with everything that you've learned, you know, from the coaches, have you been able to apply it in terms of working with people or clients?
Absolutely. There's tons of stuff that I'd say, like coaches that I've just read from, for example, Eric Pressey or Mark Ripto or Charles Poliquin, even though it's three of those styles right there that I just listed, there are lots of conflicts with the training methodologies that they might use. There's still a lot of carryover that you can use from client to client. And it's a matter of putting what people like this teach into practice. That's the main thing that really separates somebody who can learn and regurgitate information from somebody who actually goes somewhere with it afterwards. And it's a matter of putting things into practice and really making it an applied, practical thing.
Okay, now, are you working with anybody in clients right now?
Yeah, I'm working with a lot of clients at the clinic that I work for, number one, and also privately I work with a number of clients too. And, of course, remote training is another thing that I tend to do a lot of. So that would just be like online programming and whatnot from clients who are around the world.
Okay, I see. Now, the other thing I know you have and we didn't mention yet is you are part of a morning show. Now, is this a television show, a radio show? What is that?
That's a TV show, actually. It's a national telecast that happens on Channel 15. It's called First Look, Channel 15 here in Toronto anyway. It's called First Look, and it's a breakfast show, basically. Goes over the news and weather and whatnot. And then they also have their little segments where, for example, cooking or fitness. And, of course, I'm their fitness expert, so you can catch me on that show on Monday mornings.
Okay. Now, how long have you been doing that for?
That has actually been relatively recent. It happened at the beginning of this summer that just passed, so I would say around June of 2011.
Okay, so I would say, you know, the writing things that you're doing have kind of helped lead into that position. Is that right?
Oh, 100%, because okay. The people who were involved with the PR to even get me a deal with that show, they were looking at things that were sort of that built up my portfolio, if you want to put it that way. And, of course, all the different things that I've been writing for have sort of just added credibility to my name, I guess you can say, because, you know, it shows that I was on some sort of a sizable stage to begin with. So they figured that this was a good guy for the spot.
Right. Okay. Now, to get to that position, we got to kind of find out where you started. So, I mean, I get this question a lot. How do you end up being a contributor for large publications? You know, a lot of young guys ask this. The older guys kind of don't care because they're already there. They've been in for a while. And usually, you know, when I speak with people who are contributing to them, like I said, they've been in the industry for a while and they've just made connections and they've kind of worked their way into it. You're 24 years old.
Yeah.
You said you started about 2 years ago. So walk me through the process and steps of basically how you got into it and contributing for T-Nation.
Well, number one thing, of course, a lot of people have aspirations to contribute to major publications and whatnot, but the one thing that they don't do is read those publications. And when I say read those publications, I mean a lot. That's the number one thing that you always have to keep in mind is that you've got to be really steeped in the information that they have to put out before anything's going to happen at all. So with T-Nation, which was obviously the first real place that I started studying from in depth, I looked up to all of the writers for T-Nation. I figured that they were these unreachable, unapproachable figures in the fitness industry, and I really, really looked up to them. The thing that really caught my attention, not only was the content, of course, it was great, but the thing that really caught my attention was of this handful of well-known fitness authors, I guess you can call them, there was one guy, and he was really, really young to comparison to everyone else. Everyone else seemed to be in their 30s, maybe even their 40s, and so on. And then there was this one kid who looked like he was like 23 years old, and it was Nate Green. He was the writer. And honestly, it was just a matter of going the next step and trying to get in contact with him personally.
I see. So that was your route. You said, oh, look, he's a young guy. He did it.
Yeah.
I can do it. Let me reach out to him and see how he got in.
Exactly. And I felt that the angle that I could take with him was that I had a common ground in that, you know, he was doing a lot of stuff. He had done a lot of things, like writing for a number of different major magazines, too, and had a blog that 1,000,001 people were following. So he was somebody whose footsteps I really wanted to look towards walking in.
Okay. And so when you contacted him, were you just like, hey, you know, I'm Lee, I'm looking to get in and write, you know, what can I do? Or how would the process work when you were, you know, you first met and were introduced to Nate?
Well, it was just about that. Like, it was very, very genuine. I didn't want to sugarcoat anything. I told him exactly where I stood at the time being, which was more or less nowhere. I was a trainer who was working for a local fitness chain gym, and I had a lot of knowledge that I wanted to not only disseminate, but also a lot of learning that I wanted to do. And I just really wanted a piece of the pie, I guess you can say. And I wanted to get my name out there. And I thought that he would be the person who would really listen to me with regards to a request like that. And so this is exactly what I told him. I said, hey, listen, man, I really look up to you and the things that you do. I'm also a younger guy, and this is what I sort of had in mind. I have a lot of ideas. I just need a listening ear. And from that, it was thankfully accepted.
Really? Okay. Now, did you have to, like, provide any work or samples? Because you're young, so you didn't have, at least what I'm guessing, a lot of samples to give. So how did you convince them that you could fill that spot and, you know, provide for them?
So, well, the next step right after that was, I guess you could say samples or proposals is what it was. So they were like, you know, let's see what you have to offer. Give us an idea. Give us a taste of what kind of content you'd want to write about. Give us an idea of what kind of topics you'd want to cover. And give us a few paragraphs. Give us just an idea of your writing style, how you are, what's your diction like, and so on and so forth. And so I did. And then eventually one of them got accepted. It was not quite the easiest process, but after a few proposals in, that's when I finally got the little break.
Okay. Walk me through that process with the proposals. I mean, these guys had asked, you didn't have, you know, samples already there, so you wrote a few things for them. So walk me through that process about how to go about maybe doing that, like how long you have to wait for people to get back to you, any of the details you can fill in with that.
So with regards to proposals, seriously, it's just a matter of, like, different potential article topics, let's say, for next coming contributing article that would be on T-Nation, let's say. And so I would give a topic, let's say, 5 fastest ways to achieve fat loss, just naming something off the top of my head here. and, you know, go into a little breakdown as to how you would make an intro, what you'd make as the body, what main topics you'd want to cover, how it would relate to the clients or the readers, I guess you can say, that would be following along in the magazine, and then make your possible conclusion summarizing the main points. So it's really like just typical essay format in that regard. But the catch with writing and being a writer for any publication is that there are readers from all sorts of different walks of life. You can't really tell who's going to be reading these magazines. And there are also a lot of really experienced people, especially on a stage like T-Nation. So the info has to have a twist of counterintuitivity, I guess you can say, or counterintuitiveness. I don't know what the right word is. And that's where things get a little bit tougher, where you have to really think outside the box. So something like 5 Fastest Ways for Fat Loss, it's not something you're going to really easily market or whatever the term might be. So I really had to think. It took me, I'll say it took me 14 proposals before the first one got approved. Oh. And that proposal that got approved went as a 500-word piece, one-piece contribution to another article on which 4 other authors were part of. So it wasn't even like it was my own piece. I was a quarter of it.
Okay, so it takes a lot of work. It's basically kind of what you're saying. I mean, 14 proposals, that's a lot of writing to get into have a 500-word article combined with other authors.
Right.
All right, so when you get in, let's say you're at that point and you're, you know, in your case, you had met and connected with Nate. What would you say would be a good amount of time to follow up if someone's still trying to get in the door and they haven't heard back? I mean, how should you go about maybe following up with the editors or the people who make the decisions?
So the number one thing you don't want to be is too pushy, right? This is like, it's good to show that you're still in the picture and that you're still around and that you're still eager and whatnot, but there's a fine line between doing that and really harassing one of the editors. And a lot of people, me included, I'm sure, from time to time it's happened, has just been a little bit over the top where, you know, emails, especially when you're working via email or over the online sort of thing, people will read your emails. Like, there's no way around it. It's not going to get lost in cyberspace. If you send one or even if you send two, they're going to be seen. So being, you know, respectful, being polished, and, you know, just being very, very cordial with the person who is technically doing you a favor by trying to get your name out there, once is often enough, twice, and that's about it. You don't want to wait just 30 seconds after you send it before you follow up, because these guys are probably getting a million messages just like yours from all sorts of other people who want to write for the publication that you want to write for. So from that, you know, give it a little bit of time. You know, if a couple of weeks go by or maybe even longer goes by and you don't hear a response at all, it could be that, A, they're not interested in you at all, or it could be, B, that they're just swamped with information. Oftentimes it's B. Most times they're going to try and get back to you. If they don't, then, you know, you might want to send another subtle quick message saying, you know, I'm still expressing interest in the potential of reaching out and writing for the site or whatever the situation is. And, just keep it really easy. You don't have to push.
Okay, would you have to do anything, I mean, maybe just a little different in the emails to stand out? Because I'm sure a lot of people say, hey, listen, I can write. I want to write for you. I'm sure they get thousands of emails like that. I mean, is there any type of wording or text or samples or things they should include to kind of stand out?
Well, you see, the first thing that came to mind when you asked that question, I'd think of just not orienting it towards yourself, but more so orienting it towards the readers. So okay. Letter A could say, you know, hi, my name is Lee Boyce. I'm interested in writing for whatever, Men's Fitness magazine. I've written for Testosterone Nation already. I've written for Huffington. I've written for this, this, and this. And then the second one could say, you know, my name is Lee Boyce. I'd like to genuinely express interest in writing for this magazine. I've been on some other stages, or I have experience in the writing field already, or for the person who doesn't, maybe they'll say they don't, but here's what I can deliver to the readers with my knowledge base. This is exactly how the readers would benefit from the topics that I'd like to talk about. And, you know, if you keep it angled towards the good of I guess, the others, then, hey, you're laughing. There's no way that it could really come across as looking too bad, unless, of course, you make it too sappy, but I'm sure that most people get the idea.
Right, okay. And one of the things, too, is you know, we're talking about this and getting in, and you explained before how it took you 14 proposals until you got your first piece published.
Yeah.
what are some of the expectations of you in this position? So let's say someone got into this position. All right, you're like, yes, I'm going to write. I'm so excited. What, like for T-Nation, you know, what do they expect of you at this point now?
Just regular contributions is the main thing. Now, keep in mind that it is still, I'm a freelance writer. I've made something of a profile or a name on Testosterone Nation in particular, so I guess not only the readers but the editors, they're expecting that, you know, there's some regularity to the amount of proposals that I put in or the amount of writing that I do on a regular basis. It wouldn't be a great thing to just be like a one or two or three articles and then all of a sudden you're off the chart. So you want to sort of keep on, it's for your own personal profile too. So you want to keep on sort of being regular with how much you put out there, how much you get out there in the world of cyberspace, I guess you can say. So with T-Nation, I usually get about one article out, sometimes two articles out every single month. And that regularity is what keeps your name on the board or keeps you being known as a trainer who's in the mix with the other trainers, I guess you can say. So, I mean, overall, to answer your question, I would say that the real difference between being a writer for T-Nation or being a writer for a newspaper or something like that is it's just regularity and taking the initiative. With newspapers, they might say you have a quota or you have a certain amount of allotted topics that you have to speak about. It's all based on initiative and how many different proposals you can make or how many you want to make, but quality has to be a part of it too. So, you know, take your time, think it through, think of a good proposal that would make sense to write about, that you can write about as well, that you wouldn't be wasting your time on, and then put it in that, hopefully it gets approved, and then you put it through.
Okay, now you're talking about quotas here. In the T-Nation, in your case, is a freelance position, so it's a paid position.
Yep.
I mean, are there different expectations for quotas and, like, paid positions to ones that aren't paid positions?
So with paid positions, when I wrote for T-Nation for the first time, it wasn't paid for. So that's one really, really key thing that I forgot to bring up earlier is that for guys who are starting out and who want to write, like the last thing that you could possibly want to ask for or expect in any regard is money. It's the last possible thing. Really, really do it for pro bono. You want to get your foot in the door. It's a huge favor to you for you to be exposed to hundreds of thousands of people reading your articles or your work or picking up your magazine off of a newsstand. So if you make money an issue, then you're probably not going to get anywhere. I know that if I was an editor of a major magazine, then I would not like that at all.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's number one. Going back to the question, though, with regards to quotas, if you're working with T-Nation regularly, then there's no particular quota per se since you are a freelancer, but you know, it tends, just the general trend with myself anyway, and that I've seen with most of the coaches out there is they don't usually get too many more than two articles out monthly. So, I mean, it's a quota that's sort of said but not said at the same time. You just want to stay regular, as I said earlier. With other places like, give you a good example, like a newspaper, for example, or another blog that you're cameoing in another fitness blog, it's just for the exposure. So, no, there's no quotas, but you do want to sort of set your own parameters so that you're keeping yourself busy. Writing is a tough industry to really make a lot of money in, so you've got to work really hard and keep your profile out there, and that's the name of the game.
Okay, so you've been writing for these guys now for 2 years and along the line, so you've been able to basically kind of piggyback that, you know, you're writing for them into other publications, is that correct?
Right, right.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of the other ones, one obviously the big one being Men's Health.
Yeah.
What was the process like for you to get in there? Was it similar? Was it different? And what did you have to do?
Totally different. That's the good thing about if you get into one stage, then there's sort of like a little domino reaction that happens. And the Men's Health was a really big one. It was a good contribution. And with Men's Health, it was cool because I got to somebody came after me to contribute to articles with Men's Health. And that was the good thing about it, that I didn't have to do any work for it. One of the editors for the magazine at the time, anyway, I'm not too sure if he's still with them, he came after me through email and said, you know, I've been enjoying the things that you had to write on T-Nation. We've got a piece in Men's Health that is pertaining to this. We're wondering if we could have your expertise being put into this article. And yeah, like just the profile had sort of been built, and you know, the time sort of starting to pay off, because that was happening. That was the first and obviously the largest occurrence of that sort of thing getting my foot in the door. And there have been other instances too with other websites or blogs or, you know, the paper articles or something like that, where people wanted to get in touch with me and hear what I had to say. So it was really cool.
So there's a, you know, different crowds that follow certain websites and magazines, and you have
absolutely
a certain writing style. Do you have to adjust your writing style for different places that you write for?
The answer is, like, there's so much, I can't even say how definitely that is. Like, T-Nation writing style, for example, versus a Men's Health writing style, I'll just use that as well. Totally different population of people who are reading it. The T-Nation crowd is your intermediate, younger lifter who knows a thing or two about training already. A lot of trainers, including myself, a lot of trainers will study from T-Nation to help train their clients better. So it's a very intelligent crowd in that sort of jargon that goes on in T-Nation, that logs on to T-Nation and are regular readers of T-Nation. And so the writing style can be a little bit more elaborate. It's also very, very... what's the word I'm looking for? It's very, very raw, the material on T-Nation. So, you know, there'll be a lot of, like, slang terms used, loose terms that are used, and, you know, you can say really, really hardcore sentences, like you can tell somebody to shut up, for example, or whatever else you want to use. And that is the style for a magazine like that, and it appeals to the crowd because it is a younger crowd too, as I mentioned. Now with Men's Health, it's a lot more formal. It is a little bit more relaxed, and it's very, very simple, very, very, very simple terms. It was hard to make the transition the first time around when I went to any other publication other than Testosterone to write for that publication. There's some heavy editing that had to go on because, you know, the content that I was using, the information was just, it was too detailed, so I had to learn how to say exactly the same thing, but dumb it down a lot, so the same message was still conveyed with totally different words used. With a TV show as well, that's probably the hardest challenge because it's the same thing. It's I've got 2 pages worth of information that I've got to shorten into 1 paragraph and make that paragraph understandable to a 12-year-old.
Right. So that's a lot, something that I guess getting into a lot of people may not know, is that you have to adjust your writing depending on who you're writing for.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why knowing the publication inside and out, and that means looking at, if it's a hard copy publication, looking at back issues and looking at, you know, issues from even a year before, or T-Nation, for example, or whatever other website, looking at archived articles from ages and ages ago, and just really coming up to grips with all of the information and how it's disseminated, it's going to really come in handy because that's the style that you'll be able to ascertain what style of writing is used and sort of coordinate it with your own style.
Okay, so if you're approaching a place, let's say like Men's Health, and you've previously written articles, would it be smart to choose the articles that are geared more towards their audience and written more towards their audience, or just to give them a mix of samples so they can see a variety of what your writing styles are like?
I usually, personally, I like to, whenever I make proposals, I like to keep it targeted towards the focal audience. So the first option that you gave there would be the smart way to go in my eyes anyway. I wouldn't really diversify too much because, you know, let's say there's a 1 in 10 possibility that you even get approved to begin with, or you get a proposal that the editors like. If you make those 1 in 10, if you make those 10 proposals from all over the map, then one of those ones is on the subject matter, then there's a 1 in 10 chance that one gets the chance of going in. So, you know, you might as well maximize your chances by making a whole bunch of topics that the editors and the reading population and whatnot would have a good time reading. And, that's probably a really big key to getting that approval to happen to begin with.
are the expectations for you different depending on where you write from? Obviously, if you're, you know, paid positions, you may be required to hit some of those quotas and things you were talking about before. But at certain ones, at the larger publications where it's just good to get the credibility, do they still have high expectations of you and, you know, in delivering the number and quality of articles that you should be getting?
No, not so much. The thing with those magazines as well, the higher ones, is that they probably have such a much larger A, editing team, and B, like, just overall amount of, I guess, applicants, for lack of a better term, they're trying out for, or trying to get in there. They're sending in proposals themselves. So, you know, you can fall into the dark really, really easily. you can get forgotten. And if you don't stay in touch and you don't take the initiative yourself, then again, you'll fall off the map and somebody else will come and they will have something out there for them to look over and hopefully get into their publication, in their next issues or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of a rat race or a dog-eat-dog sort of thing, but that's the way that it goes.
Okay. And what are some of the things you should do so that you don't fall off the map and kind of be, you know, fall into oblivion and where nobody really cares or knows who you are?
Well, I'll say blogging is a really good thing to do. So if you have a website or you're working on a website, or if you don't have one, then it might be a good idea to start one, even if it's just a basic WordPress theme or something like that. It doesn't have to be anything too elaborate. And, you know, just start writing. Just always have material that you're writing about, whether it's something that's 700 words or whether it's something that's 3,000 words. Just have material that's out there. And because once you start writing, it'll give you more ideas of other things to write about. So not only in day-to-day life, just to keep your eyes open and think about things that people would want answers to, questions related, just always have something going on your blog or, you know, pen to paper, Microsoft Word, whatever it is. And, you know, having material that's accessible to you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to send out proposals to anywhere that you're interested in, really, and not run out of ideas and stay on the map once you do get published the first time around. And because if you just think about it from the time and place perspective and that's it, like the here and now, and you send out a proposal and it gets approved and you write on it and then you just, that's it, then you're going to run into a problem sooner or later.
I see. So you just have to constantly be at it, you know, on your game.
Yeah.
Give yourself different windows for other people to see where you're at.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I'm curious about, you know, difference again between maybe, let's say, Men's Health and other places that you're writing for, they have different editors, they have a larger staff. Do they suggest articles, things to write about sometimes, or do you always pitch the ideas as to what to write about?
Now, I've heard of them suggesting articles. Personally, I've always been the one to pitch. I know that that's subject to change, so I can't really comment on whether or not it's always one way or the other way. In my experience, I've always been the one pitching, which is, to me, it's a good thing. I'd rather have it that way than say, here, your topic is going to be three different new muscle-building techniques, and you have to write in under 2,500 words. Go. That would kind of suck for me.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked is because I came from the media industry, and that was – you know, for the newspaper and TV, that's kind of the way it was. Here's the story, go make something out of it. Okay.
Yeah. With the TV stuff, it does tend to be that way, where segments get allotted to you, and if you opt to do them, which, you know, I'm sure most people would opt to do them, they have to come up with the material based on their topic chosen. So it's a little bit different.
Now, at Men's Health, since there are, you know, so many more people involved, as I mentioned before, is it harder to be included in some of the stories, since I'm sure they have so many people submitting that's part of the staff, as it would be, let's say, maybe for Teen Nation or the other publications that you're writing for?
It is harder, and the frequency for Men's Health is definitely few and far between as compared to something like Teen Nation. So, again, like with that in mind, the amount of face time that you try and get in the smaller places, and in comparison to Men's Health, I'd consider T Nation, I guess, smaller, or want to be big smaller. That's why you have to make your appearances in places like that, try to stay nice and high. So it sort of follows the same line that we've been talking about this entire time, in that you got to keep the persistence up and get your name out there, and, you know, let people know that you're still in the mix so that you are one to be chosen from as well.
Now, do you happen to know, I mean, you do write stuff for Men's Health, do you happen to know exactly really kind of what they're looking for in people? Or is it just kind of like, in your case, you know, the guy was following and he was like, hey, you know, I'd love for you to write over there. Do you even know of anything like that?
So with regards to what they're looking for in people, you know, I'm sure that, like, background in terms of where you've been, what kind of experience you have, that ties into it. The number one thing that I know they look for, and they even mentioned this in their writer's guidelines, which I received a while ago now, I'm trying to remember, it says, don't even try to, it's kind of harsh, but it does say don't even try to apply for, or not apply, but to propose anything for Men's Health if you haven't been published in another major magazine. So that's the number one thing they look for, obviously, is just some sort of track record or portfolio to your name. It doesn't necessarily have to be super duper schooling. You don't need a PhD or whatnot or education like that, but it's more experience in the field itself to know that you are, you know, a writer that's been recognized or a reputable maybe or whatnot. That's the key for them, it seems like. And I'm sure that's a general trend with most major magazines like that, or Muscle Mag or Men's Fitness, for example, where they want to see that, you know, this guy has some sort of establishment in this industry and therefore will put his name in print. That's it.
Absolutely. So you've done a lot in a few short years. I mean, you know, you've been writing for these guys, and now this has led to you, you know, being on TV and having a spot on TV. How did that come about? Like, where, I know the Men's Health thing obviously helped, but what were the steps for you to get onto the TV show?
So the TV show partially was the clinic. I won't down talk the fact that my place of employment definitely had a role in that. But it was still, like, a lot of it still came independently in that with the clinic, and they set up the potential of it. They still said, hey, who is this guy? Like, you know, there are more trainers who work at the clinic. There are more trainers who work in the city. So what makes this guy so much more special? And so they said, you know, send in your information. Let's see what you've got. So I sent links to a number of my articles for T Nation. I sent links or other clips from media segments that I had done when I worked other places. And that sort of is sort of added credibility, I guess. And the fact that there was a lot of published work out there, that really, really helped the situation a lot. But yeah, it was more so just track record, just like other things. So being published in different places and saying that I had experience writing for places like Men's Health and with all the articles for T Nation and, you know, the other things that are in the works, along with the current job that I have, it was more of a convincing to them than just saying, hey, this guy's a really good trainer. And yeah, he's written one article as well for this site. And yeah, that was back in 2009. And that was it. It's just, you know, persistence. This guy's developing a little bit more of a track record, and he's developing a little bit more of regularity in the industry as a notable face.
Very cool. Well, I mean, you've been done a lot. You're 24 years old. I mean, you're very, very young. What are your plans for the future with writing and what you want to do?
Well, I mean, it's such a, to put limitations or to put any sort of goals, it's just really, it's a self-imposed thing. But if I was to plan right ahead, I guess by the time I'm 30, I really want to have a book out there, like a full book of some sort with regards to training methodologies and theories and, you know, some sort of training system, and maybe even a little bit of like introspective stuff on, you know, life or whatever, who knows. But that's a huge, just in the works, under the radar thing right now. Just want to really develop more of a profile as a trainer in the industry and become, you know, that sought after figure too. And, you know, from having that sort of profile, it's going to get my message and my info out to a lot of people and hopefully help them too with their training. The T Nation thing has been going really well, and I have no intentions of not writing for them. That would be great if I continued on with that, and just as many other major publications as possible. Of course, the main crowd that I do write to is men, and the main crowd that I write to are, it's younger men too, who are somewhat intermediate with their training. And so, yeah, something geared towards that would be great to have in the works with regards to further writing or a book writing or whatnot. So that's the main thing. And, you know, if I can land a couple more TV spots, then that would be a nice bonus too.
Absolutely. Very cool. Now, we've probably, you know, gone over it. You know, you've mentioned it a couple times. It's been a theme through this conversation. But if you were to offer, you know, one bit of advice for someone who's trying to break in, get in, you know, the T-Nation or write, like, what's your biggest piece of advice that you could offer them?
Biggest piece of advice that I could offer a potential writer would be get ready to be rejected a lot, especially when you're starting out, because like not everybody's going to like your stuff. Even if you do get into it, like get approved and everything is gets published, and everybody is not going to like your stuff. They're going to be haters in just in the general reading population, of course. And then editors are going to, they might edit your stuff severely. They might take out information that you want to keep in there, or vital pieces, because it all goes down to what will make the readers really have the greatest read and have the most take-home experience with the content that's being provided. So, yeah, like, I mean, number one still would say just be prepared to, A, get rejected with possible proposals and having to be persistent in that nature of even getting something approved. But number two, also, be prepared to take sort of constructive criticism, or take any criticisms that you do receive constructively. Learn from it. And from that, you'll have a better possibility to move forward and really just better yourself as a writer and continue going on. Because, I mean, at this point in time, it's only been 2 years, and I've really gotten the chance to work with, you know, some big publications, as, of course, as we know. But on top of it, now the frequency of proposals that I'm sending in, the amount of ones that are getting turned back, it's getting lower and it's getting lower and it's getting lower. So, you know, things do change once you build a little bit of an established base and a reputation in the field, I guess you can say, or with a certain publication, and they start trusting you more. So the grass is greener, I guess you can say, on the other side.
Very cool, Lee. Well, I appreciate the time coming in and sharing such amazing information. Where can people go to see some of your work, obviously T-Nation, things like that, and also do you have a website that people can check out?
So my website is www.leeboycetraining.com. So LEEBOYCE training.com, my first and last name there. And, you can also follow me on Twitter as @CoachLeeBoyce. And, yeah, I'm on Facebook as well, just under my own name, Lee Boyce. And, of course, my T-Nation stuff is the main place where you're going to find the highest frequency of my work. So it's all there.
Very cool. Lee, again, appreciate the time coming in and sharing everything, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
You've just listened to an exclusive interview on fitnessbusinessinterviews.com. If you're looking to take your business to the next level, or you're looking for more interviews and secret insider tips, then visit www.fitnessbusinessinterviews.com.